Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Robin Kiefer, and this is episode number 310. I want to thank you guys for listening each week. Really appreciate those of you that like, share, comment. Just helps us continue to highlight the great coaches that we have in our profession. Also want to thank our sponsor, Train Heroic, for bringing these episodes to you for free. I think the world of Train Heroic as a platform, but more importantly, I think the world of them is people, and they're constantly striving and trying to improve it. So if you're in the market, please reach out to them. If not, the next time you see them at a conference or something, just let them know how much you appreciate them being part of the show. This week, I'm joined by a buddy of mine, Justin Schwinn. He's the tactical performance coach at the Sport Special Warfare Center. Longtime buddy. He's been, you know, known since he's been at South Alabama, doing some fantastic things, man. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
I lost your video there. There we go. Got you back. Perfect. Well, Justin, we'll jump right into this thing, man. I mean, you've been, most recently South Alabama, but, I mean, you've been Mississippi State, Rice, Birmingham Southern. I think you went to school at Texas State, maybe even. You know, with Special Operations. Which one of those stops had the biggest impact on you as the coach that you are today?
I would definitely say the longest had the biggest, and that would have been at South Alabama. I was there at 9.5 years. That's where I kind of took the midpoint of my coaching career to the more than mature point of my coaching career, and got to develop a staff, develop a program, a culture, you know, just like your South Florida days. It's probably pretty much of a mirror of that. I think that's where I got to judge people, got to see people, and see the character of people, see how people mold it within the staff, see where I wanted to be within the staff if I was not the head person. It gave me a lot of judgment calls, showed me that, gave me opportunity to be educated. I got to run the show. So heavily on that piece, heavily on a cultural piece, heavy on understanding personalities. That was a great experience. Obviously, as any job in the collegiate setting, when a coach gets let go, you usually find the same pink slip in your mailbox. So.
Yep.
That was the end show for me, but no regrets at all. Very much so, have great relationships with people still there. It is where it is now because I got to be a part of it.
Yeah, I think so many times as young coaches, you're still caught up in chasing the logo, that you're making a jump every, you know, 2 or 3 years. But if you can stay at a place like a South Alabama or a South Florida, or you know, a school that can grow with, you know, that's growing at the same time that you're growing as a coach. It's the perfect storm in terms of my opinion, on terms of trying to, you know, developing your skill set at the right pace, in my opinion, you know. And so we've had several talks about that through the years for sure. But before we jump into this thing, though, you know, I like to dig into, you know, you don't get to a place like South Alabama, you know, as a young coach and have that much time without making some mistakes along the way. What's one of the biggest mistakes you made and how you learned from it?
For me, one of my biggest mistakes is I think before South or as a whole?
As a coach.
Yeah. I think not listening to my peers when I vet people for hiring them. When I do interviews, I used to do a staff interview, and I think you need to listen to people around you, because if they're part of your culture and what they develop, you need to listen to what their opinions are and not go off what you say, your gut feeling, I guess. You trusted them, and if you trust them still, you got to listen to them, because if you want to continue to fruitfully cultivate and build your culture, that likelihood of what they say, I think, plays into that. I did not get several hires within my career, and that's where I made mistakes. I said, you know, this is a friend of mine, or this is a guy that I got a good reference for somebody. I'm know, go with it. And they were like, hey, this is not going to be a good fit. I should have listened.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's one of the things that we talk about quite a bit on the show is, you know, man, you know, to be a great strength coach, you have to be a great technician, a manager, and an entrepreneur. And the hardest part is managing people and, you know, selecting those people is important. And what's ironic about the whole thing is you're now at a place where you're part of, I mean, you're working with special forces and right at the cusp of when people have been selected, going through the training to kind of, before they go off to SF groups and whatnot, that process, what have you learned in that process about the recruitment or, you know, talent identification and that can be applied to strength and conditioning?
I think more than anything is just from, you know, coaches all day long say, hey, you know, we're going to bring a kid in that might be edgy, but we're going to make them tougher. We're going to change them. And the kid, in my case, the soldiers are who they are. You know, they've made a selection because who they are. Like they have the grit or they don't have the grit. And they made it through. And now the process past that, that's just going to be from them adhering to the process and staying the course. And they're going to be successful. You know, I'm a big believer. Now, are you going to have your outliers? Sure. But you can't base your culture, your program on trying to change everybody because it's not going to happen. You know, your culture needs to be consistent.
How do you balance that between, you know, obviously kind of, you know, growth mindset of with being a coach and thinking that you can affect change in people? What attributes do you believe are those intangibles that just they're not going to, the leopard's not going to change its spots? And which attributes are the ones that you think people can actually change?
I think discipline. I think discipline and good habits. I mean, and really that comes through consistency. Doing what you believe in over and over again for the purpose of developing those good habits, aka the discipline. I cannot say that enough. In any aspect of life, you know, what you're saying is if that zebra has the wrong color stripes, they have, is it bad habits or is it their character?
Right.
Bad habits, you can clean up those bad habits with good habits. But if it's the character of the person, you ain't going to change that.
Agreed. You know, when you're dealing with, I mean, you're on the front lines there that, you know, what's the biggest area of improvement that needs to be made from these soldiers being selected to being able to be that functioning, you know, warfighter?
Well, you know, the mentality they have, the standard soldier is they're going to do one of two things. Either they're going to love to go long, long distance and run a long, long time, or they're going to really love to do some sort of CrossFit component. So in that, they do a lot of cyclical patterns that create a lot of inefficiencies within their overall just mechanics. So realistically, you know, as crazy as it sounds, is teach these guys great foot control because it's poor. You know, I do a lot of stuff barefoot now with these soldiers because they have zero idea what it means to actually grab the ground or push into the ground. And then work on a lot of rotary stability because they don't have it. They lack it. Very poor. And I'm up here at Fort Bragg, so 82nd Airborne. So these guys, every one of them jump out of an airplane at least once a month. So I see probably double, if not triple, the injuries from jumping out of an airplane than they do going to combat.
Right.
Current combat right now is not very intense. So, I mean, these guys jump out of airplanes, you can see any injury under the sun they come with, and 9 out of 10 times because they are very poor in their trunk stability. So when they land in bad posture, bad position, they can't control it. And then two, they're just really, really poor in their overall balance and control. Because they do those two things. Like I said, they CrossFit and they run miles. So a lot of these guys, I'm going to do a marathon, or I'm going to go ruck 12 or 15 miles. It's okay. Well, let me see you do some single leg stuff. They fall.
Right.
You know, so it's those little things like that, that when you do that, and then and do a lot of rhythmic stuff too. I think, you know, just basic speed mechanic stuff, you know, an A march, A skip, you know, anything like that, skipping, hopping, jumping, they don't know how to do it or do it well rhythmically. They're very mechanical or robotic in that. And understanding a great movement patterning allows them to stay healthy over the long term.
What lessons, I mean, obviously you spent most of your career in team sports. You're in that, you know, you're at a place where one of their primary missions is to develop leaders and develop decision makers. And what are some of the things that you've taken away that could be applicable to the team setting from a leadership training or character development standpoint?
The biggest piece is just make sure, you know, I think Jocko talks about it well in his Extreme Ownership book. You know, just one, taking on that ownership mindset is no matter what happens, the blame goes to no one else but yourself. Don't be a victim. You know, I think so many in this culture today, everybody's the victim. And these guys, why they're such great leaders and why they're able to execute such difficult missions is because they take that ownership. I mean, they, regardless if they're the freaking the sergeant all the way up to the full blown colonel, they take ownership, and it's instilled in them. And like I said, you have it or you don't. And these guys instill that ownership piece. It means a lot. They're not blaming anybody. If something happens, they accept it. They accept the consequence and they move forward.
Absolutely. Well, making that move, having spent most of that time in the team sports setting, probably wasn't. I mean, it was easy in some ways and probably hard in some ways. What's the biggest difference? And, you know, what were some of the things that you needed to develop your skill set on when you came from college to the tactical setting?
Well, two real big things. I mean, the biggest is the discipline factor from team sports in college to now. It's if you took a pyramid, it's inverted.
Yeah.
You know, the top, everybody's disciplined. I mean, when I set stuff up, I don't have to do very little. The soldiers do it all. You know, back at South Alabama, crap, I remember I'd spend an hour early if we had to set up some circuit on the field, which I know you did all day long too when you do. And you'd spend an hour, if not longer, setting that up. And same thing vice versa at the end, cleaning it up.
Right.
In this setting, it's all done for you. So just that culture of everything taking care of itself, the weight room, they clean the weight room. You know, now do I go spot clean it daily? Sure. But they clean it every day.
Right.
So that's mind blowing to me. But at the same time, more of a programming and scientific standpoint, is the aerobic component that the soldier has to be able to adapt to. Like it's been a big change to me. I never ran anybody in any sport besides maybe a cross country. I never worked with crew, anything more than, you know, probably 800 meters at a time. And now I got guys that got to go yearly, have to do a 12-mile ruck, and have to go run 2 miles pretty much every 6 weeks for their PT test.
Right.
So that process, have to develop and integrate an aerobic program and have that consideration in the overall balance of the program. It's hard because I've never done it.
Sure.
It's reaching out to other guys in the field and understanding where they're at and what their global concept of the tactical side is.
We, you know, they had one of the colonels speak at the NSCA conference, and everybody's hearing a lot about these hundreds of jobs that are going to be potentially coming down the pipe in the military. What do strength coaches that are listening need to know about that, and where's the opportunities lie?
Sure. You know, so first things first, if you have a dream and you're living the dream, I say you follow the dream. You live that dream. But if at some point in your career, I was at Summer Strong last week and Kaz hit a home run on it, man. He said you got the short-term money and the long-term money. And if you're chasing it for the short-term money, you're living a lie. Chase it for the long-term money. You got to take that consideration into meaning if you're in this thing for your family, if you're in this thing for just more than just the job, you want to have a hobby or outside things, this is where it's at. But if you want to be the head strength coach of Tennessee, the head strength coach of Oregon, like that's your goal, that's your dream, then chase it. I'm not going to tell you not to chase it. So you just got to come to that understanding. And at some point in your life, in your career, you got to make that understanding, that statement. Obviously you did. And when you took the step over to play, and I think any and every coach is going to have to face that and either they lie to themselves or they be truthful to themselves and they take that step. So, I mean, in that, as far as on the Army side, there should be about 1,000 jobs, additional jobs to come open by the year 2025. So that's, and that doesn't include big Air Force or Navy or the Marines. So that's coming down the pipeline. If you want to get into it, you know, go to the TSAC. That's a good option. And then just know somebody that's in the field and stay in contact with them. Because right now it's still pretty much a good old boy closed circuit piece to get in. It's pretty hard on the soft level, but if you want to, the opportunity is there.
Right. I think what is the USAjobs.gov or something, right?
That's for the GS spots, and then KBR Wiley is for the soft spots, and then Reef Systems could be more for your big Army spots right now. Those are good. Those are the three bigger companies
you're gonna look at. You know, we've been in this for a while now, and you know, obviously the field has evolved to the point where there's jobs in tactical. There wasn't when we first got in. You know, there's jobs that are kind of existing in some of these, you know, PBR bull riding now and Cirque du Soleil and things like that. Where do you think is the next place that strength and conditioning needs to be branching out to?
You know, as a whole, I mean, it's going to be in your, you know, the next place is the military. I mean, I can't tell you we're on the cusp of it. I can't see anything else where it's going to blow up more than where it's currently at. I think the other place it'll go into is going to be your heavy industrial components. It'll be more of like your Chevron, your Exxon. They'll be hiring strength conditioning, working with these guys out on rigs. I mean, because that's a very, very, very intense job. And in that, you got to have the workers' comp on that, and everything else is just like the military. You got to cover that. If the performance increases, the job productivity is going to increase. I think that's where you're going to see it, that in big factories. I mean, they have it somewhat now, but not like where it will be.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Yeah, I had never really thought about the industrial side of it, but I think you're right. I think, you know, the other component of that is high school, obviously, is getting somebody in every high school. I think it's super important as well.
Well, as soon as your guy, Gary, he continues to push his organization.
Working on it.
Yeah, well, I know, but I think it's still on the tip of the spear, man.
Yeah, agreed.
When it really goes, it's going to be – it'll be unreal when they get that certification that builds into it and the accreditation piece, like, yes, it's going to be unbelievable. And then coaches will jump from college. Those mid-level coaches that are not achieving what they aspired originally to achieve when they got into it, they'll take that route because the purity of the game of coaching is still there, I think.
It's right. Yeah, agreed. Well, man, we end the show with some resources here. Give us the best piece of coaching advice you ever received.
Never stop learning. I can't tell you enough. Every coach out there is wide open, man. Wide open to teach you, to learn from, and for you to learn from them, and you learn from them, and they learn from you. Like, I can't just reach out to them. If that's via social media, if that's via find someone that knows them, whatever it is. And I can't tell you enough that anytime you have an opportunity, try to jump on that. You know, utilize that resource. I've learned so much and been able to meet so many people through that process, and I'm so thankful for that.
Great. Give us a book, app, website recommendation.
Sure. You know, as far as book, the one I just finished was Extreme Ownership. I think that from just me being the setting I'm in and reading that from Jocko, it sets the precedent that I'm no longer going to be the victim. I'm not blaming anybody. The only person to blame is myself. If I'm not successful because the opportunities that were presented to me, I didn't take advantage of them.
Great. What about an app and a website?
Well, you know, my boys at Train Heroic. I think Josh and Ben and those guys, if you are a coach and you're driving a program or you're driving if it's private sector or if it's in a school setting or even the military setting, it's the way to go because it gives them digital access wherever the heck they want to get into, you know. And then as far as website-wise, you know, I'm not going to, off the top of my head, I'm not going to drive anything more than my standard, which is going to be my elite FTS and reading their articles. And then anything Exos, their platform, educational platform, I think it's a great base foundation for any young coach. If you want to know anything from a movement standpoint, from a just a programming and a systematic standpoint, I think those guys do it globally very well.
Yeah.
You know, it gives you a great base, a great foundation to springboard off of.
I agree, man. Well, brother, you know, going back to the South Alabama days and seeing what you built there and how you poured into your staff, how you poured into your career, how you've taken that and applied it to both your career, but your home life and making this transition here to the military. It's awesome to watch, man. I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing with everybody.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey, on Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.